Hey, this is Galen. Before we start today's episode, I do want to address world events. So we try to keep this podcast pretty no bummers because we want this to be a safe space to just chill out and relax about things. But unfortunately, we do want to address there is currently an ongoing invasion of Ukraine. And we just want to say that if you want to help out, please donate. We recommend Doctors Without Borders. It's always a good place to donate to. They are helping out in Ukraine, it seems like. But if you find individual people from Ukraine asking for donations or, you know, things of the like, even a couple dollars goes a very long way in Eastern Europe. So please donate to anybody who needs help. Even, you know, one or two US dollars is a big, big help. So thank you very much. With that, let's go ahead and start the episode.
I'm connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for the web. Computer today.
Computer.
NetSurfer Pro.
Hey, what's up? This is DJ Radio Big here on Intimidator. Looks like we've got only one competitor today.
Woo! Place all to myself!
Alright, so it seems that Matthew is doing... he's coming off to a big jump. Oh my god. Oh my god, he's done a 360 judo triple backflip into, I believe that move he does is called the Schwicky Swag.
Hey, the Schwicky Swag, Schwicky Schwicky Swag, Schwicky Swag. That's my secret move. Nobody's listening to me, but I like to say it anyways.
Yes, named after the fact that he calls it the Schwicky Swag every time he comes off of a ramp. The Schwicky Swag is, of course, a really impressive move where he takes his feet off of both, you know, straps on the snowboard. He flips it around. He does a move like he's playing, you know, a really intense board game on the top, and then he puts it back on his feet.
Oh, wait, hold on. Nobody's listening? Shit, I was supposed to go live. All right, hold on. Let me pull over here. Damn, I'm gonna lose my Uber meter.
He's actually pulling over to start streaming. Of course, he is a streamer.
All right, what up, Twitch? Today, we're gonna be going down Intimidator. Of course, this is one of my favorite places to snowboard down here. You missed it. I already actually did a Schwicky Swag. I know, chat, I know. Yo, thanks for subbing. Thanks for subbing, KaoriFan218. You know, it's kind of rude to have yourself named KaoriFan and then donate to my stream. Like, you would hate if I went to Kaori's stream and donated as, like, Luther fan or something, right? No shade to Luther, though.
Actually,
you know what, mods? Ban KaoriFan218 from the chat.
Oh, God. Ah, damn it. Now I've just been banned from his Twitch stream. You are, of course, listening to Radio Big, where I have a mic set up to Matthew while also watching his stream, personally.
Oh, wait. Hold on, chat. I forgot, I don't have music playing. All right, let me just put on the radio. They always have copyright-free music, right? All right, hold on. Ooh, Radio Big. Cool, let's listen to that one.
And we're back with Radio Big. Right now we've obviously, you know, we're doing a bumper, but we're going to get back into the music. Hey, today's music is going to be a 45-minute episode of, let's see here, it says the authors here are NetSurfer Pro. Sounds pretty cool. I don't know how they're going to, you know, do 45 minutes of music. Sounds more like just a podcast episode, but I'm just going to load it in here. Obviously, you know, radios all have big CD players. That's how they get all their music. That's how it works here anyway in Radio Big. I am, of course, DJ Radio Big, not DJ Atomica. I'm subbing in for DJ Atomica. I'm the intern.
Ow. I ran into a rail.
It appears that Matthew has run into a rail. He's failed his Schwicky Swag.
I've swagged my last Schwicky. Send an ambulance or a snowmobile.
Oh, unfortunately.
Or Snow Patrol the band. Send the band Snow Patrol, please. I want to see them live. Ow!
Damn. Unfortunately, it seems like Matthew is not actually going to be able to participate in SSX3 this year. Damn, he was just one day away from being a character in the video game. This is, of course, a real-life event that is then going to be turned into a video game.
Sorry, Twitch chat.
Well, that's really unfortunate, but you know what?
I'm really glad to be using Twitch in the year 2001.
You know, I think that his Twitch chat is going to be really happy. You know, he's gonna see his recovery, and then, you know, maybe he'll sell Twitch to a bigger company and it'll become Twitch.tv. Who knows?
You know what? Unban Kaori fan.
Oh, sweet! I've been unbanned.
Wait, who said that?
I mean, we're starting the new NetSurfer Pro album right now.
This is the NetSurfer Pro musical episode. Listen to us sing a song without instrumentation. It's just him beatboxing because I didn't want to compose an entire thing.
Hey, yeah. Oh, wait, sorry. I'm like the Little John. Yeah!
No!
No!
Yeah, this is NetSurfer Pro. We're, of course, in the AU where Lil Jon says no.
Yeah.
But he might say snow in this case.
Snow!
Sneer! Now it's just that Rick and Morty universe. Yeah, so it's another NetSurfer Pro. We took a little bit of extra time to make sure we had everything together, actually replay the game that we're talking about today, and also because we need to... adjust the sleep schedules and regular schedules.
Yes. But hey, we're back and we're talking about what might be, I think, my second favorite game of all time.
I don't remember. You, the audience, should go back and listen to that episode and then listen to this. And then you can, like, comment on which placement SSX3 was. But, so I really want to start this off by explaining why I wanted to do an SSX3 episode, because it's not just because it's a great game and it's cool and interesting and epic and wow and pog and such nice, but because some asshole on Reddit, this is where all good stories start, this is where all good ideas start, some asshole on Reddit went onto the SSX subreddit and just did this long rant of like, oh my god, SSX3 is so bad. Why do people like it so much? Like, going down the mountain, all the peak is not interesting at all. It's boring and stupid. Why do people like SSX3 so much? And then the entire comment section was people being like, this is why people like SSX3 so much. And they were like, no, that's boring and stupid. I'm like, what do you mean? You asked why people like it. They're telling you why they like it. What do you want? And so... I got very mad about this, as you definitely should do to Reddit rants, and that's why I put it on our list of topics, and it's more than a year later, and we are talking about it, so that's cool.
Yes, this is, of course, kind of another one of those episodes where, like, this is somewhat tied into the internet, obviously with the Reddit rant, but this is also sort of just a topic we really like. We really, really want to talk about. It's a classic video game, and it's also a classic video game from 2003, which is, like, we're getting to that era right now, I think, where mid-2000s nostalgia is taking over the internet, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
With people like Nakey Jakey and such.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, Rebel Taxi.
Yeah.
His whole aesthetic. Well, we'll talk about that in a bit. Let's just focus on the game for now.
Yes.
Yes.
The Fact Corner.
So, SSX3 was released in 2003, 2 years after its predecessor, SSX Tricky. It was released under the EA Sports Berg label, which is a sort of, like, almost cartoony EA Sports, like, label or line of games. EA Sports, obviously nowadays, they do, like, Madden, they do FIFA, they do, like, a lot of the big-name franchise eSport games. But those all are semi-realistic, whereas Big had things like, obviously, SSX, but it also had NBA Street, which was a more sort of arcade-focused game, more along the lines of something like NBA Jam than something like, you know, the modern, like, NBA video games, where you ruin the future of the NBA, as in that one Fumble Dimension episode. But so SSX3 was released in 2003, and as such, it has a lot of Y2K design inspirations, whereas Tricky was more based off of, like, groovy 70s. Is 70s groovy?
Yeah, 70s is groovy.
70s is groovy.
60s is kind of the stereotypical groovy, but, like, 70s, knowing vague things about the aesthetic differences, I think it fits more into 70s groove.
Yeah, whereas SSX3 is squarely Y2K. You know, 2003, it was developed in 2002 then. It feels like the epitome of 2002.
Yes.
It's a snowboarding game, for example. So, just a brief overview of the gameplay. The way SSX games work is you are a snowboarder doing a downhill race. And you race, you move along the ground, you do tricks, and the tricks give you a sort of super meter. And that meter, which I think is called adrenaline, allows you to speed yourself up. But if the meter maxes out, you can do uber tricks, which are like tricks that are harder to do in that they take a longer amount of time and thus require more airtime. But in return, you get more boost added on and you can do cooler uber tricks. The system was kind of different in SSX Tricky. I'm not sure how it was in the first SSX.
So I do actually own the first SSX. Unfortunately, having played through SSX 3, I did not actually get the time to play SSX 1. I do know that Uber Tricks were added in SSX 2, SSX Tricky.
Yeah. Tricky had sort of like personalized Uber Tricks, where every character had a unique sort of dance move they would do, almost.
Yeah.
My favorite was always Eddie, who does the worm.
Which is the coolest, yeah. By the way.
And then Eddie was removed in 3. There's a whole cast of characters that some of which were returning from previous games, some of which were brand new. I think one of the funniest new ones is Griff, who looks like, what are their names? Fucking Zack and Cody.
Oh, man. Which is fitting, because Griff goes on to become the series villain in the sixth
the
game,
reboot,
I think.
Yeah. Just SSX.
Yeah, okay. So, here's every character. All right, we've got Zoe. She is the badass punk. She's the one that
punk
my roommate
girl.
Played a lot.
It's
She's
punk, rock,
punk
girl.
Rock girl.
Yeah.
Because Allegra is alt-rock girl.
Yes.
Allegra is like Diet Zoe. No offense to any Allegra stands out there.
Egg lovers.
So yeah, we've got Allegra. We've got Elise, who is the sex symbol of the series. She's an absolute queen. I fucking love her. We've got Kaori, who is kawaii.
She is Japanese.
She is the Japanese character.
She doesn't have a lot of depth beyond that.
Little
unfortunately.
Bit, yeah. Although, so weirdly, the two languages that this game really is in is English and Japanese.
Oh shit.
And funnily enough, all of the writer voice lines are the exact same in both versions, but the differences is the narrator callouts. DJ
okay.
Atomica is voiced by and speaks Japanese, and the like pre-course stuff is all in Japanese too.
Yeah.
So then we've got, so that's all the Goyles. Then we've got Mac, who is the coolest one when you're 12.
He's the white boy.
He is the generic white boy. We've got Griff, who is the generic white kid. He's 10 years old.
He wants his turn on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, why he becomes a villain, the one that's on the 360. Continue.
So we've got Nate, who is the generic white man. He's a cowboy.
Yeehaw.
We've got Vigo, who is probably my second favorite because he's an idiot. I love him. His like riding up the mountain animation is him literally doing the like my tongue is stuck to the frozen to the pole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Then we've got of course Moby, who is black and British, I think.
Yeah, he has like a Union Jack as one of his bandanas, I think.
Yeah, really interesting combination of traits. Especially around mid-2000s, where there weren't a lot of black characters.
Yeah.
And, of course, the final character, who I'm not currently sitting here desperately trying to remember.
Is it Simon?
It's Simon.
Who is Slipknot.
Yes. Simon.
He's the new metal guy.
He really is. He's the funny, crazy... He's the insane guy.
Yes.
His move is called the guillotine.
And yes, like, that is sort of a weirdly, like... kind of ableist depiction, you know, the generic psycho. But yeah.
He is Tumblr sexy man crazy, I would call it.
Maybe, yeah.
So here's an interesting question I want to ponder. I'm going to have a lot of diversions in this episode. So
just like the game has
of course.
A lot of paths you can take.
There was a music video that MTV did to get people to vote that had a whole bunch of video game characters, and it was like, you should go out and vote. And Simon from SSX 3 is in there. I think that, like, Zoe is also there. I don't remember all of the characters, although it's beautifully mid-2000s. You should look it up. So here's my question. Who did Simon vote for in the 2020 election?
Oh no! Oh my god!
Simon clearly is of voting age and is actively wants to vote. But, like, I do not know if Simon, like, went down the Q pipeline or if he became, like, a radical anarchist.
So, I almost think Simon is a big proponent of prison reform.
Oh my god, yes!
He's definitely the type of guy who has done jail time and therefore is wanting to change it for the better.
Yes.
He's very, like, pro-con as far as getting them jobs and, like, changing the perception, or pro-ex-con.
So, I like that. I really like that depiction.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, a lot of his stuff is somewhat reminiscent of prison as well.
Yeah. Reminiscent of prison. Mm-hmm.
Prisonicent.
Yeah, that's how you would say it. Sure. Yeah. That's my headcanon.
I like that.
If anybody's a Q, it is Griff.
Oh my god, yes. Oh no, you're so right. He's 10 in the year 2004. He is... Fuck. Yeah. 2003. Anyway, so we can get back to the actual discussion before I diverge our paths again.
Yeah, so I want to talk a bit about sort of the design and gameplay of just a regular race. For one thing, just a brief sort of history of snowboard games. I'm pretty sure it started with some arcade games. This is not an accurate history, so this is not a fact corner.
Yes.
But I want to bring up two specific games, which are 1080 Snowboarding and Snowboard Kids. Both of those were snowboarding games, but they were racing games in different ways. Snowboard Kids had a circuit sort of system where you're still going downhill, but at the bottom there's a ski lift that takes you upward. And so it was, in essence, the same as a typical racing game where you go laps around a course. 1080, I think, was just completely downhill, and SSX veers more towards that, where it's just downhill,
yeah.
Top to bottom. You do the entire course once. SSX's stages, though, are pretty complex, with a ton of different pathways. Some are intentional, some are kind of hidden, and a lot of times it's just, like, very open.
Yeah.
There's technically an out-of-bounds area, where if you get to this point, it puts you back on the track. But a lot of times it's pretty far off, and, like, you can get pretty creative with the route you take.
Yeah.
Like, when the course will switch back around itself, kind of back and forth, you can almost always go over the first hill and down to the next one. And there's tons of times where that happens on each course.
Yeah. There's a number of different, like, when you start a race and or when you get to a certain, like, junction, there's definitely going to be, like, three or four different places that have different styles. So there's the, like, normal circuit track. It's powder snow. It doesn't have a whole lot of jumps, kind of, but, like,
sometimes it has ice.
Yeah.
There's a distinction between ice and snow, by the way.
Yeah, ice is harder to control, of course.
But at higher acceleration.
So, yeah, we've got the, like, circuit areas that are the areas of snow that have the painted-on jumps and stuff like that. We've got a lot of rail sections that, like, go over and around the race, which are, like, they're basically an alternate way, and they're slightly harder to stay on, because obviously you have to contend with a simple, you know, rail physics kind of, like, oh, go left if you're going too far right.
Yeah,
style.
It doesn't have a UI like Tony Hawk's grinding, but yeah. You kind of slide to the side.
Yeah, exactly. But if you have boost, those are really good places to go because you go really fast on rails. Then you have the out-of-bounds sections, which I will specifically draw. There are actual specific, like, out-of-bounds sections that have, like, glass panels you break through. That is not the same as, like, literally you go down a waterfall and it's, like, out-of-bounds,
yeah,
and you reset.
I think I would run to call them, like, off-track or something.
Yeah.
Where it's not out-of-bounds because you can still go through them normally. It's just not the main course.
Yeah. The off-track sections typically have a whole lot more, like, naturalist stuff, falling over trees and stuff like that. So you have to contend with more, like, stuff in your way, but they also typically come with the bonus that, like, they're a little bit quicker, I think, than the circuit tracks. They're shortcuts that don't let you do as many tricks and have a little bit harder skill cap to go through.
Yeah. And so the last sort of main gameplay elements are you can hold A to kind of lean forward. If you release A, then you jump. But while you're holding A, you accelerate faster, and I think you move faster top speed-wise, but you can't turn as well. when you're not holding A, you can turn, but you don't move as fast. It's a pretty typical payoff there. Usually you want to hold A when going into a jump, so you jump further or higher thanks to your speed converting. While you're in midair, you don't have as much horizontal speed, I'm pretty sure, as far as like being on the ground or on a rail, but yeah. That's when you do tricks, which is your main way of getting boost, other than rail grinding sometimes. And then the last thing that is kind of funny, it's kind of niche, is combat.
Yeah.
You can press R or L to punch people to your right and left, respectively. In Tricky, this was handled with the C stick, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, which is extremely weird to go back to.
Yeah, I like it more this way, because you don't have to, like, adjust your thumb grip, you know?
Yeah.
It's like if a Nintendo 64 game made you press L and Z throughout the game.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it'd be like that, except it's not as bad still, but... Yeah, it's cool. It maxes out your super meter when you actually land one successfully.
But... if you do multiple circuits, writers who are, like, perturbed by you have, like, exclamation points over their heads, and they're more likely to go for knockdowns, and knocking someone down makes them pretty upset.
Yeah.
And so they're more likely to try and knock you down in the future.
Yeah, and, knockdowns really slow down the enemy writer, because it bails, and when you bail, you lose a lot of super meter. And yeah, when your super meter's maxed out, you enter the Uber state. Where there's sort of like an invisible timer that lets you do Uber tricks, and doing Uber tricks extends it. Each time you do an Uber trick, you get a letter from UBER, and then Super, SUPER, which increases your level of Uber, that lets you do cooler tricks, and gives you more boost to work with.
Yeah.
Overall, it is a trade-off between doing tricks now that might slow you down, but give you a better advantage later.
Yeah. A fun thing... There is also fun, like, little mechanics within the Uber as well. So, when you have level 1 Uber, just the UBER, you do tricks that are less impressive, worth less points, but much faster to do. And so, a trick that I typically like to do is to get, like, up to 3 and then get off a really big jump and then do as many of those quick tricks as I can.
Yeah.
Also, you can do Uber tricks on rails, which are... also faster. They're an instant bail if you hit the ground. I mean, all of the Uber tricks are an instant bail if you hit the ground, but you're more likely to on a rail. But, like, they are always faster, and they are, like, being on a rail is also very handy, because boosting on a rail is, I'm fairly certain, the fastest you can really go.
Yeah. I love the mechanics of this game even more than I remembered. I feel like it has a ton of depth in the trade-offs between tricks and movement and routing.
Yeah.
Like, just the fact that, like, the whole boost system. Like, for one thing, I love races that kind of give you boosts that are, what's the word? Like, they're deterministic in some way. They're actionable. You're proactive in using them rather than, like, in Mario Kart, you get the mushroom and then you're reactive.
Yeah.
In this, it's all about how much time and how good are you at planning those tricks and routing them in. You know, can you get a knockdown maybe and then get some Uber that way, versus, like, do you just want to go fast now and try to get ahead of the competition early? And you know, that means there's a lot of, like, variability. I don't think it has the best, like, catch-up mechanics then, unless somebody doesn't, like, if somebody is ahead and they have super Uber, they're pretty likely to win unless they hit something.
Yeah.
Whereas,
That is actually the final note. If you have full Super Uber, you have infinite boost.
Yeah.
It's infinite boost for a set amount of time. I don't think you can extend it by doing tricks still. But, like, it is still... It's still kind of an instant win.
Yeah. Whereas, like, if they don't have Super Uber, then you might be able to get some yourself and then catch up. Kind of unlikely, depending on how far they are, but, you know. But I think it's really deep in all that being said. The fact that, like, you choose between acceleration and turning, but if you hold the A button, then you have to jump, means that you can't easily switch between that fast movement and fast turning.
Yeah.
You kind of have to commit ahead of time to one or the other.
It feels like an interesting twist on, like, the Tony Hawk style. The Tony Hawk not downhill jam style.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, you know, that game, obviously all of its mechanics are trick-based, typically. there is some movement, but like the point of the game is usually pulling off big combos. And it feels like somebody saw that style and was like, okay, how do we twist this to make it more of a racing game?
Right. You know? The combos don't just serve to look cool, but they have important utility for the racing game portions.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty big deal. So I have a few more notes for the game's design.
Yeah.
A big thing in the game is the Conquer the Mountain mode. So the game has three peaks. It's a mountain with three peaks. You can think of them as like chapters of the game or difficulty levels. Peak one is a little easier than two, which is a little easier than three, generally. That's the word.
Generically.
Yeah, sure, generically. This is sort of the campaign mode of the game, but it is kind of incredible that this is something that was done in 2003, because so you navigate the mountain. When you start on a peak, you start in sort of a generic middle ground area that's at the top of the peak, but not part of a race or any other challenge. It's just sort of free roam area.
Yeah, there's a lot of interim areas within the peaks of like you are going from, you know, happiness to one of the freestyle or the race portions itself.
Yeah, there's also lodges and ski lifts, which is really cool. You can transport to these by pressing start and then choosing something from a menu. But also, you could just ride your snowboard up to the ski lodge to buy new equipment and upgrade your stats.
Yeah.
Which is this, like, semi-diegetic UI element that is kind of wild to me that they decided to do that.
Yeah. Also, I want to point out, with all of the love in my heart, the pause button is your MCOM, which is this, like, you know, PDA style thing, mid-2000s. They didn't know we'd have smartphones. Early 2000s. They especially didn't know we'd have smartphones by this point. But like, yeah, it's this, you know, high tech, quote unquote, like spy movie looking PDA system. And every time you pause, it has this beautiful sound effect and a voice that goes MCOM. And
MCOM.
If I wasn't committed to having like text tones that were kind of like not, you know, really loud, if I could set that specifically to be like one, like my Discord tone, I have wanted that to be my text tone for a long time. All of the UI elements, all of the like sound effect design needs to be studied in this game because it is like pitch perfect.
Yeah. I want to get to the UI design a bit later.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
So you also select your challenges this way. There are, of course, the races where you go up to the starting line of the race. But also there are, there's the option to free ride courses, which has its own sort of mini game challenges.
Yeah.
Like get so many points without bailing on this course or something like that. But then you do also have actual slope style levels. In SSX Tricky, the slope style levels were pretty much just playing through a normal course, but trying to get points. The main exception being Pipe Dream, which was like a secret unlockable level at the end of the game.
Yeah.
In SSX 3, right from like the very first peak, you can access a like specially designed slope style level that's like a half pipe or a series of half pipes just to do like point challenges in.
Well, I do hate to be a bit of a pedant here.
Uh-oh.
But there is slope style and then there is super pipe events.
Oh, and those super are
different. Super pipes are the ones that have the half pipes. Slope styles are like if you made a race style course, but like made it specifically to maximize tricks.
Okay. So it's sort of still what I was talking about from Tricky, but with pipes for yes. The pipe events.
Yes.
But that is cool that they included that.
Yeah.
It feels like they recognized that people liked just doing tricks, and they were like, okay, let's just put that in.
Yeah. The slope style events are probably my favorite because they're easiest to get to level 3 with. I mean, actually, what I mean to say is, it's like somebody made the, like, race course style, but specifically was like, let's maximize how much cool tricks you can do. And I just love that style of event, especially because it's also, like, it's a solo event every time you're just competing against whatever the highest score is. So, like, it is so fun and, like, my favorite style of play. I love the racing. I love the freestyle.
So you also have a rival, which you race at the end of every peak, and it's this big thing, except it's only kind of a big thing. They talk shit on you, which is fun. There's some little character interactions when you're snowboarding. You'll hear somebody be like, hey, you know, so-and-so, fuck you, I'm faster.
Yeah, there's a lot of voice lines of, like, people jeering at each other. I think, I'm trying to remember, peak one is Mac. Peak one is Mac is the rival.
Mm-hmm.
If you are playing Mac, it's actually Griff, which is funny.
Yeah.
Peak two, I think, is Nate?
Maybe?
I think it's Nate, and I don't know who it is if you play as Nate, because I don't think any human being has ever played as Nate. and peak three is Simon, and if you're playing as Simon, it's Elise.
Nice.
I want to say that that's it.
Nice.
But yeah, all of them all have their own, like, you know, I own this mountain little interactions, at the, like, once you unlock the ability to race or trick style them.
Collect all the silver coins and win.
It's time for the egg collecting minigame.
Yeah. And so this all culminates when you finish peak three with the all peak jam, which is, to me, one of the best things in any video game to this date.
Yes.
It is therapeutic to a degree. It is so good. It is racing the entire mountain from top to bottom. So you do the like untracked generic sections of peak three, then you do peak three's race course, then generic sections of peak two, peak two's race course, generic sections of peak one, peak one's race course, and then the other peak one race course.
It is, oh my goodness, like,
it's 30 minutes of just pure SSX.
Yeah.
Pure sex.
Pure sex.
My phone keeps auto-correcting SSX to sex, so it would say sex three. That's what this is, because it's three peaks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you three peaks.
Oh, no.
Your mother listens to this program. I shouldn't make these jokes.
Your mom?
My mom! You know who else goes down three peaks?
Oh, no! Oh, my God. Okay, we're way too off track. Untracked, one might say. This mess is, like, tricky.
Hey, this is a good point to do my second diversion, actually.
Ooh, yeah.
So,
well, I see a big old blue glass frame we're about to crash into.
Ow! Oh, ah, God, why did we go through glass? Oh, I've got, it's all in my arm. Why did they design the course this way? They must have really good liability insurance. So, there's a forum. There's a forum called Mercury City.
Oh, no.
Mercury.
Isn't that how it's spelled in Turkey?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's a forum for SSX.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know this because I went through a really big forum phase in my youth.
Didn't we all? That's the true early 2000s experience.
I mean, yes. But I found so many forums trying to replace the one forum that I knew, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And
try to fill the void.
And so I found this, and my favorite thing was the intros would basically 100% emulate the writer profiles of of the game. So what I'm going to do here is turn to my host, Matthew, and ask you all of these questions.
Ooh, I like this game.
Yep.
SSX3, I mean.
Yeah, SSX3 is great.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what we're going to call this segment where I give Matthew basically personality quizzes.
This is going to be called what is Matt at?
What's Gibby thinking about? So, all right. Let's get off with the easy stuff. Name.
I don't know if I should give that away this easily.
Yeah.
Let's just use my internet alias, which is, of course, Twack.
All right. Yep. That's good. That's good. Age.
Yeah, I don't know if I should give away that this easily. I actually don't know if my age is already public on the internet, so I'm just gonna skip that one.
All right, let's say 30 stone.
Above 20.
Yeah.
Greater than 20.
Your age is a picture of, like, a board game that says age 2 to 99.
Yeah.
Vertical.
Yes.
Mass.
No, I'm actually agnostic.
Okay, yep. Nationality.
American?
Yep, that works. AKA.
That's actually a guy I've played fighting games against before.
Oh, he's pretty cool.
No, isn't that the lead singer of Zootamayo?
Well, you're thinking of Akane.
Oh, wait, sorry.
I guess the answer to that would be AKA, and then the your fill-in is Ne.
It's the hiragana for Ne, yes. Yeah.
Stance.
I almost thought you were going to say stand.
No, I know you wouldn't give that away that easily.
Yeah.
Any enemy stand users could be listening right now.
Stance is, hands in my pockets, got my iconic bag hanging around my neck.
Yep.
Just chilling.
Hell yeah. Blood type.
I don't actually know.
I also don't
know. Diabetic?
I have always wanted to know what fucking blood type I am. My mother got me a blood test kit. And I need to use it.
Oh my god, you've been procrastinating a blood test.
I know, right? I'm a mess.
That's such a thing. That's the Minions-y thing. Getting a blood test kit and procrastinating it. Epic.
Alright, so, one-liner.
Hey, baby.
Are you Three Peaks?
Are you Three Peaks? Because I want to go down on them like all pink jam. This is so bad.
Oh,
I can't think of anything better, though. It's too much. Keep going.
All right. We're now getting to writer faves.
Okay.
Thing in the world.
How do I answer that? That's too open. Favorite thing in the world? I don't know. Artificially produced insulin? That's pretty good.
That is a pretty good answer.
Yeah.
Thing to hate.
People on Reddit, of course.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Place to ride?
Huh. I guess like, Universal Studios Orlando? They have some good rides there.
Ooh, that is a good choice. Personally, I would go for, Six Flags, but that's only because I've only ever been to Six Flags.
Yeah, Six Flags. Ooh, no, Holiday World. Got it.
Oh, Holiday World.
Holiday World.
Been there too.
Holiday World. Mm-hmm.
Writing partner.
You.
Aww. that's the wrong choice. I'm bad at snowboarding.
Don't worry, I'm bad at snowboarding as well.
We'll be bad at snowboarding together. Victim.
I'm only punching up.
Okay, good. Victim punching up. I like that.
Yeah.
Other sport.
League of Legends. Wait. Do esports count?
I would argue yes.
Rivals of Aether for the PC.
Good. SSX event.
Race, obviously.
Yep. Secret spot.
Secret spot? Well, there is this, like, thing under my shoulder that hurts a lot when I sleep funny.
It's that little spot. You know when you massage a cat's back and you feel that, like, little bit? It's like that.
It's like, in Percy Jackson, he describes his Achilles heel point as the small of his back. I don't know where that is, but I assume it's the same point as this, because it hurts like hell sometimes.
Yeah. Food.
Yes, please. I'm starving. No, pancakes.
Yeah, that's good. Accessory?
My fanny pack that I wear around my neck.
That's also an extremely good accessory.
It's my stream logo.
And finally, career highlight.
What is my career highlight? What is my career? Oh my god. What have I been doing? Oh my god.
Probably that.
Actually, I was gonna say, the answer would be, the time I briefly held a world record in the Slap City Ultra Fish Bunjin Any% speedrun.
Nice.
That's and then it got taken.
So, so that's all of these. I do want to shout out, this person, this post from 2018 that I found. This username is Ianism, which is pretty good. But I'm putting Ianism on blast for a hot minute because his food is just you.
Like, you mean like a Y-E-W? Like you?
No.
Oh.
His food is Y-O-U-U.
That's a little too much.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Can you tone it down a bit?
I'm a few too many calories.
Can you put it on the afterburners? You know, just to cool your jets?
Also, his career highlight is time travel. Holy shit. How...
He went forward in time, which is why he's on an SSX3 message board in 2018.
Exactly.
It's Eggs' oven. Or Biscuit's oven.
Yeah.
Whatever the character is. Fucking, I don't know. That's another episode.
So, yeah, that's the writer profiles of Matthew. Mm-hmm. If you want to go ahead and take that like 5 minute bit, go ahead and make that an animatic.
yes, do free animation work for us,
please,
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 pretty please, do the free animation for us. Okay, serious talk though. Y2K aesthetic.
Yes.
So this is huge about the identity of SSX's, at least early games. I think once it got to SSX on tour, it was a little less Y2K-y. But Y2K aesthetic is a thing that is studied by graphic designers nowadays. I really want to shout out the Y2K Aesthetic Institute, which is somebody on Twitter who is sort of spearheading a movement of reviewing kind of design trends from the 90s and late 80s to current day. A lot of really cool sort of views on like corporate design, home design, architecture. They catalog a lot of design like journals from the era that has like, you know, the newest trends and everything. Very great account. Have to recommend. Just check out all their stuff. But so, the Y2K aesthetic in particular is... It's hard to explain if you're not super well-versed in it. The way I would say it is the idea of the, like, future... The idea of the future seen through the 90s lens of, like, bubbly pop.
Yeah.
It is very round, it's very bright and colorful, or it's at least very white. There's like NSYNC is dancing in it. Yeah. No, it's very bright, colorful, a lot of rounded edges. And I asked my brother Jeff about this, how he would describe Y2K fonts. Cause this is the first thing you'll notice is like the loading screen font, for example, has a Y2K font.
Yeah.
And I want to use his description of it because he is a professional graphic designer. Also co-host of my other podcast, but, you know, we don't need to talk about that. But in his words, Y2K fonts were over the top, often three-dimensional and glossy. Sometimes they were geometric, other times they had really sharp angles and extreme slants. They are often multiple layers of embellishment on Y2K fonts. Drop shadows, highlights, outer glows, bevels, extrusions, and multiple layers of outlines. Occasionally there's some grunge punk inspiration to a Y2K look, which is seen in the actual logo of the game, which not only has multiple layers of embellishment, but a slight grungy messiness to it.
Yeah.
As if it was covered in snow and ice. The main font for the game, though, is, like, it's roundy, but also it has, like, angular corners, is how I would put it. It's also monospaced, which is really interesting.
It's... I would liken it to the PS3 or the Spider-Man logo, or the Spider-Man font.
It's sort of like, the only font I can think of to compare it to is like OCR, which is a, it's like the Lappy font from Homestar Runner. It's sort of a digital clock.
For some reason it makes me think of, oh goodness, Space Channel 5.
Yeah.
I think Space Channel 5 has a symbol.
Space Channel 5 is peak Y2K aesthetic, to be fair. It is, a lot of the UI also has, like, that sort of, tech motif of, like, a lot of small rings being added to things. A lot of bubbly and rounded sort of spots that are used to highlight the information. I don't know what the term is, design-wise. Like, menus are kind of jagged sometimes, but otherwise they're, like, a bunch of shapes kind of placed around. It feels like... With the sort of onset of modern digital design software that happened in sort of the 80s, 90s, that design software allowed people to do some things much easier, like make shapes without needing a ton of tools.
Yeah.
It's not like people couldn't make shapes before, but they had to use like rulers and stuff like that. There's probably somebody out here listening to this that hates this whole thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, actually? But bear with us here.
Don't insult, actually, our most faithful viewer here.
Yeah, I know. Actually has been listening to us for a long time. And I'm only feeding into any parasocial notions they might have.
Also, M, actually. It's M. Night Shyamalan's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Who,
of course, took his wife's name when he married?
Yes. Jessica, actually.
Yeah. Jactually?
Jactually.
Yep, okay.
We got there, folks. I don't know where we got, but we got there. The aesthetic is exactly as you described,
which is
not a statement. But... it is also, to go back to what I was saying, emphasized with the sound effects that the game has, because every sound effect is tech big. Like, I struggle to describe it without literally just making you listen to it.
It's like a pew or a pew.
Yeah. I currently have the selection sound on of the menus on my phone as my text tone. And, like, it's the kind of sound that plays when you think about this sort of, you know, big, chunky PDA that is still futuristic.
Yeah.
Like,
It's, like, a lot of, like, synths with extra reverb added.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would call it, like, Star Trek computer sounds.
Yeah, that's a really good way of describing it. The like, selection sound, or the, like, you know... moving cursor sound is a like quick little boop boop boop, but it comes with that reverb that makes it feel grander.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I do also want to mention the music in this game, which you also wanted to mention.
Yes,
because that's another huge part of this game's identity and legacy.
Yeah, so firstly I want to say that the menus are it's not diegetic menus, but the menu has a, like, layering of soundtrack, depending on what menu you're in. I love games that do this so much.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. I love multi... This is also I love in Hat in Time, when you're in different rooms and you get the different versions of sounds, or of the menu themes. Like, it is so, so good. And it is all over the song Go? No. I think it's Go.
I don't actually know.
But it's got Mad Skills and It Will Get Wild.
Yes.
But the menu layering is extremely, extremely fun. It makes it fun to go through a menu. I could talk about it all day. I will move on. From there, in the actual gameplay, we have a wonderful Y2K eclectic mix. There is standardization. Like, it's not like Tony Hawk... Underground 2 levels where you have, you know, where you have Ring of Fire and frickin' The Living End and, like...
Imaginary Places?
Yeah.
Well, that was Thug 1, but
that
yeah.
That was Thug 1, but yeah. It's still a little more rock-focused, a little more techno-focused, but it does still have the likes of, like, Fatboy Slim... it's got Signs from Fatboy Slim.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Clockwork's...
Autopilot off,
that's mm-hmm. it.
Now, is Clockwork the band?
I
can never remember. This gets me to this day, even though I have the song saved in a Spotify playlist.
You look that up while I continue.
Yes, you go ahead and vamp.
The sequel would add OK Go. Is there an OK Go song in 3? Not in 3. Here It Goes Again is in 4.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtrack then goes on to have, like, Coralino.
The band is Autopilot Off, and the name of the song is Clockwork.
Yeah. It's also a specific-ish version to SSX3.
Yeah.
Yeah,
these are all edited down a bit and kind of moved around a bit, partially to fit the average length of a race, which is about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, but it also then does the music layering trick.
Yes.
There are, like, 4 distinct styles of song that the game will like diegetically move to. I can use diegetic.
It's contextual.
Contextually.
Yeah, it's not diegetic.
Right, it's not diegetic.
Diegetic is when it's represented by something in the universe. So that would be if there was like a speaker playing the music.
Yeah.
That's why the lodge is semi-diegetic, because the menu isn't in represented, but the act of selecting the menu is represented.
Yeah, gotcha.
This is contextual because the actual contents of the music change depending on other contexts.
Yeah, there's I think four versions. There is a version without vocals. This is usually at the beginning of the race. It happened, like, it switches to it if you fail, you know, if you bail or fall or whatever. Then there's the version that is sort of the full version, I would say. There's a washed out version where if you go off a really big jump, it like washes out and like really only has percussion. And then there is a sort of like downbeat version where if you're in like a shaded area or a tunnel, something like that, it's not fully washed out, but it does really only have like the percussions and maybe some of the low end instruments.
Yeah, it's really muted.
Yeah.
A great example of this, just watch gameplay of the first track. Is it Snowdream? Is that the name of the first race?
I think so.
Yeah, because that has, like, you know, the start, it has a bunch of big air jumps, and it has a kind of muted section in, like, a snowy forest.
Yeah, it has the big jump into the muted section, which is, like, the, oh god, top 10 video game moments of ever.
Yeah, it does a great job of matching the pace of the game in a way that, like, you're still listening to the song, but you're not just listening to, like, headphones.
Yeah.
It's a lot more involved. I love the aspect of it just, like, fading out when you get big air, and you're suspended in midair, the music is suspended, like, you've lost connection from everything except the board.
Yeah.
So cool.
Oh, God. I have another small diversion. This one is smaller than the others because it's not a full game or anything, but I do have a piece of fun trivia. This could, technically speaking, be a fact corner.
Ooh.
The fact corner. So, there is one song here, Bear Witness 3 by Dan the Automator. Bear Witness is a multi-part song series. There's a Bear Witness, there's a Bear Witness 2. Bear Witness 2 is actually in Thug 2, funnily enough. There's a Bear Witness 3, and then he very recently came out with a Bear Witness 4. I believe that the origin of this was a character he made called, like, Dr. Octagon. I hate to say it, but yes, it's basically Dr. Octagonibus. He created that character, did an album of the character, and Bear Witness was one of the songs. Bear Witness 2 came out in the, like, Pretty Handsome Boy Modeling School album, I think is what it was. Bear Witness 3 was never officially released. So Bear Witness 3 was, like, going to be released as a normal song, and it got into SSX3. But because of label shenanigans, there was a, like, music video made for it. And it was obviously in SSX3, but it was never officially released at, like, in a CD.
Holy shit.
And we know for a fact that it is still the canon, quote-unquote, Bear Witness 3, because when he came back in, like, 2018 and made Bear Witness 4, he labeled it as Bear Witness 4. So yeah, that's some really fun trivia right there.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
I'm looking on, like, Spotify and all that, and I don't see Bear Witness 3. Was it on the soundtrack?
It's not in the, like, CD soundtrack that I got. Okay. Which is also interesting, because yeah. There was a sub-fact corner. There was a CD that had a lot of the original music and had some, it wasn't actually, like, the exact songs from, but it was, like, a lot of remixes of songs and a couple of songs just straight from the game, like Porlino. No, Bear Witness 3 was not released on that soundtrack either.
Yeah. I'm looking over this, by the way, the soundtrack list. I remember my brother would always set it to just play Clockwork and Way Away.
Yeah, no, those are two really good options.
It was the, like, emo pop playlist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun take me back. I forgot Way Away was in there.
Yeah, this whole like rabbit hole.
And Jerk It Out was also good.
Oh God, yes. This whole like rabbit hole started with me realizing that Bear Witness 3 was the sequel to Bear Witness 2 from Tony Hawk's Underground 2. And I was like, wait, there's a sequel song?
Yeah.
And then I read the whole Wikipedia page, as it were.
Yo, when's a story 2 getting into Tony Hawk's Underground?
Yo, you know,
Story 2 is a fucked up song. It's good.
You know, they put out Song 2 a while ago. When are they going to make Song 3?
Yeah, fucking Blur.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, make Song 4.
I got some words I need to blur for them for not making Song 3.
What does that mean? Huh? Yeah, no.
I think blurred speech is actually what Bane does.
Oh. Nobody cared who I was, though I blurred my speech.
I'm going to snowboard down Peak 2, Intimidator, listening to Blur and
Clockworks.
Clockworks Autopilot Off.
I was trying to think of who did Blurred Lines.
Oh, Robin Thicke.
Robin Thicke, yes. So, SSX 3 is, I don't have a whole lot else to say about it.
Yeah, I guess we could touch on the sequels a little bit if we want.
Yeah, I guess a little. I honestly haven't really played much of them beyond a little bit of On Tour and a little bit of the reboot.
So, I've played a good amount of On Tour. I like On Tour. It's different. So, On Tour is a little bit later, mid-2000s. I think it is a little more squarely in the mid-2000s. So, I want to say it was 2005.
Is that the Wii one?
No, that's SSX Blur, actually. Oh. I think is what it's called.
Bummer! I'm joining forces with Luigi to snowboard!
was being released on the Wii part of your plan?
Of course!
So, SSX On Tour... Oh man, I love it when a podcast comes together, huh?
Mm-hmm. Gross.
So, On Tour. On Tour follows the design trend that I think I've only seen in like two things.
Nice trend.
Of like looking like it was a middle schooler's sketch drawings. And so it has it has more of a punk aesthetic, by that like style. Like, every individual writer who comes in kind of gets their own little intro where, like, you know, then rolls up the paper and it's like, you know, Mac or whatever. By the way, shout outs to the creators of On Tour for taking Mac, the, like, pinnacle of middle school cool with his baggy-ass jacket and cool-ass demeanor, and turning him into... A man with a green shirt and green hat.
Oh shit, that's me.
He's also, I think, like, bald. Oh. He looks like a SoundCloud rapper.
Is he the Riddler?
No, it's a baseball cap. He's not the Riddler, he's the Piss Riddler from Riddle Me Piss.
Yeah. Yeah. All I can think of for that, like, DIY sketchbook aesthetic is, like, movies. Like, I think Juno did that, Superbad, the credits of Superbad.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that there's one other game that was, like, this, like, multiplayer shooter that was, like, the sketches of a teenager, something like that. But, yeah, it's not bad. It introduced skiing. The Uber system was a little different because it had to do with the right stick. It was more punk looking and less punk feeling, I would put it. Mm-hmm. It felt a little more like this is a product of a board going, hey, this is hip right now, you should do this.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Guitar Hero 4 of SSX.
Yeah.
And SSX, the reboot, is the Guitar Hero Live of SSX because it kind of got rid of a lot of the stuff people liked.
Yeah.
It added wingsuits, but it doesn't have local multiplayer.
Yeah, SSX 2012, as it is dubbed, actually had its 10th anniversary very, very recently. I think it was this month.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. We're going to be talking bad about you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was... it was a reboot. It wasn't really good, I don't think. It was like, you know, 7 years after the last one, the last true one, I suppose, because S6 Blur is kind of the... S6 Blur is that one in the community that's like, you know, it's a Wii game. It's not really an SSX game. Yeah. I have no idea what it plays like, by the way.
It's the Tony Hawk's Ride of SSX.
Kind of. I should honestly buy it just to play it, because, like, I should own everything SSX-related. It's my second favorite game of all time. Yeah, the reboot was... I don't want to call it soulless. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it was like a soulless product. I do not actually think that it was like, we need to dig into our archives real quick. Oh, let's pull out this old thing. It's not like, you know, it's not Blizzard announcing Overwatch 2 to distract. So I don't think it was like a cash grab or anything, but it was like, it did lose a lot of the luster in sort of the seeking that like 2012 prestige aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It tried to change things where it's like, you know, it's like it saw that, you know, people's general favorite thing was like the backcountry parts of SSX3 and was like, well, let's just make a whole game around that, but it didn't really succeed.
It kind of, the style reminded me of Skate.
Yeah, that's a really good comparison.
It's like they saw that people were playing Skate and that they weren't playing Tony Hawk anymore, missed the entire context behind why that was, and said, people want more realistic extreme sports games now.
Yeah.
Let's make Griff evil.
Let's make Griff evil for really no reason, actually. I'm going to stick up for Griff in this. Listen, Griff, I'll accept that Griff is a QAnon person right now. But, like, Griff, there's nothing that was like, Griff is the evil one.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, I would kind of expect them to do it to Simon. And you know what? I'm glad that they didn't.
Yeah.
That would just play into even worse stereotypes. But it's still like, huh, why Griff, though?
Yeah, why Griff? Since then, there's been some games that tried to be similar to SSX. One major one I can think of is Steep.
Yeah.
Which was, I think, an Ubisoft game that was, like, multiple different types of extreme sports based on a snowy mountain. Skiing, snowboarding, I think there was snowmobiles, there was, like, parachuting and wingsuits. But it had, like, an open-world style, and I think something I liked about SSX is how carefully designed it is.
Yeah.
How it is a race course first and a ski slope second. And while the backcountry parts of SSX 3 are cool, I think they're cool because they're designed like a race course.
Yeah, like even the part that has the quote-unquote least structure, the one that is most naturalistic, it has extremely specific, like, race course-like qualities.
Yeah, it has certain paths and, like, you know, very clear gameplay purposes served by each object.
Yeah.
Whereas it feels sometimes like people are looking at those and thinking that they want to make a game where it simulates going onto a real mountain and snowboarding, but just with video game controls.
I would, here's what I would say. Steep feels like it was trying to be SSX, but it ended up being an Amped sequel more so than anything else.
Yeah.
Amped 3, if you've never played it, would recommend, with a big asterisk, that the cutscenes are dated in very 2000s era, let's use the... there's an actual R-word drop in it.
Oh, Jesus.
Because it's that kind of, like, dated. Mm-hmm. It's more dated than SSX, than any of the SSXs, actually.
Yeah.
Like, SSX actually holds up really well. I don't think there's anything that's like, ooh, that's a little problematic.
There are the rider bios in SSX Tricky. I just want to call, the one that I remember was that Kaori, her dad makes anime, is what it says.
Oh, yeah.
And she was a voice actress. So, for one thing, her dad's probably, like, way too overworked. For two thing, I feel like the nepotism's not going to sit well with the anime otaku, from what I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen what they did to the voice actress for Haruhi?
Well, are we gonna have to cancel Kaori?
It's just kind of stereotypical, you know?
Yeah, no.
Like, oh, it's Japanese. Of course she likes anime.
Yeah, it's... There are bits of, like, where it's like, you know, I think we pointed out...
It's like, tokenized.
Out, yeah, you pointed out in SX Tricky that, like, Tokyo Megaplex is, like, much more high-tech than any of the other courses, and it feels like it's that mid-2000s Orientalism.
Yeah.
Of, like, you know, oh, it's Japan, so it's all high-tech wacky.
Yeah, exactly. I do want to talk about the differences between the two games, by the way.
Yes.
Now that we've turned back time, like Cher. I think, so, I always remember SSX Tricky better than I remember 3. The only course I, like, actively remember from 3 is Intimidator, because it has the tube and green.
Intimidator, but, here's another fun fact. Intimidator is my least favorite course.
It has, like, one annoying part, but I think I like it the most because of the tube and green.
It has a lot of fun parts, but I have like, literally sat trying to grind out to get... It is my last gold medal.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's fair.
And I cannot get it. Okay, second to last. There's one other course in Peak 3 that's very difficult, but that's a freestyle course.
Sure. Yeah, But there's a lot of courses I remember really fondly in Tricky. Like, is it, like, Mesa Blanca that has the like, mine pathway? Where it's, like, a secret path that goes through, like, half the stage? There's Mercury City, which has the sewer path, which is really fun.
Yeah.
There is Aloha Ice Jam, which is, like, a series classic. It has tube.
Yeah, it has big tube.
A lot of tube. And supposedly a shortcut that was never found, according to the Easter Egg Hunter on YouTube, according to somebody who worked on the game. So get on that, gamers.
Yeah, nah, I should be trying to grind that out, because
yeah,
I want to be the person that found it.
There's Tokyo Megaplex. I love the Alaska level, because it has, like, a fan at the end that blows you, which is fucking wild. It also has another tube.
Yeah.
but it's like one of those underwater aquarium tubes.
Okay.
But so, like, I think for me, it's just that SSX Tricky is more about level theming than SSX 3. SSX 3 has, like, long shortcut paths, and it has, like, you know, nifty set pieces. But Tricky is more unrealistic in the terms of, like, the types of set pieces it uses. Like a fan or a... everything in Tokyo Megaplex, yeah. A pinball table, a fucking Waluigi's pinball, yeah, over here.
There's just Waluigi's pinball in it, actually, really out of its time.
It's wild.
So, I want to, in the last few minutes of this, I want to pitch the perfect SSX game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, it has to be conjoined like 3. Mm-hmm. It has to be... You know, the series of like conjoined and reemerging pathways of 3. If it could even do more of that, that'd be cool. It also needs to have the multi-peak system and the peak jam where you go through parts of it, you know, subsequently every single time. But it has to have the tricky style of courses. It has to have the, like, it has to have, you know, massive imaginative sort of styles. I would also like to throw in, it would be really cool if there was a genuine diegetic lodge you could go through and, like, interact with the characters, because the character personalities are some of my favorite parts of SSX 3. That's some of the parts, like, things that have, like, stuck with me the most. And you know what? Looking back, there is personality, but, like, It's really in quips.
Mm-hmm.
I would love a section to actually, like, let the characters breathe.
Yeah, let Elise say fuck.
Yeah, let Elise say fuck.
Yeah,
damn it.
I want to shout out Snowboard Kids 2, which, even though it has the weird, like, circuit system, it has some really wild course themes. There's a space course. There's, like, a haunted house course.
Yeah.
Shout outs to the person at the Hollywood Video we would rent it from that cleared through the whole game so we wouldn't have to.
Honestly, also shout out to Snowboard Kids 2 for getting personality right, because there's a lot of little cutscenes of, like, the characters interacting and shit.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. I want a lodge system that's more of that. I want The transport system is, like, fucking great.
That's where fine. A lot of the character comes in, is in the loading screens in the ski lifts.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Zoe does crunches, Kaori looks out the windows, stuff like that. It's really fun.
Simon is invisible.
Simon is outside the cart.
Yeah.
That's actually badass.
That's pretty good.
Want more of that. Honestly, I think the big thing is, instead of building wider, build tall.
Like a mountain.
Yeah, tall like a mountain. You know, steep is, from my understanding, a pretty good video game that just doesn't recapture, like, the magic, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, don't give us a big open world. Give us a lot of fun circuits.
Yeah, give us a race course.
Yeah.
I want to race. I want to race snowboards. I want a snowboard race.
I want a snowboard race, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, me three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
Good night. You can follow us on Twitter at NetSurferPro. Send us any suggestions for episodes you have. Send us funny comments like what placement SSX3 was in Galen's favorite video games. Remember that one.
I have my phone. I could look it up. I'm not going to.
Yep.
You have to remind me, audience.
Mm-hmm. This is our quest for you. A new quest has been accepted. I hope it's been accepted. Hold on, let me redo that. I don't want to put words in your mouth. A new quest has been added to your quest book. you can follow us on any podcasting platform you want, where you can, you know, get notifications for when we get a new episode out. We should have a pretty interesting one coming next. It'll take a lot of work to actually prepare for it, though, because it's going to be a doozy. Yeah. Probably a two-parter. Two-parter.
Yeah, this is almost certainly going to be a two-parter.
Yeah, a doozy. But there is a teaser for that on our Twitter in the form of emoji. It's probably something where if you know, you'll know, and if you don't know, then you'll probably know soon. In like a week or a week and a half.
However long it takes.
Ever long, yes. Foo Fighters.
Mm-hmm. Hey, where can we find you, Matt?
You can find me on Twitter at MattCraigGaming, where I tweet what I'm thinking about, any funny tweets I have, as well as when I go live on my Twitch page. That's twitch.tv/twack, twitch.tv/TWAK. I stream Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday from about 1 p.m. I've been going earlier, so like noon Central Time to 2 to 4 Central Time. It's kind of up in the air right now. I stream a lot of competitive games, roguelites. I streamed a little bit of Elden Ring, but I don't know how much more I'm going to stream. Lately, I have been streaming a lot of Teamfight Tactics, though, since the new set just came out. So if you're interested in that, check that out. It's always analytical. I talk about interesting things that I've seen recently. Every first stream of the week, I do the weekly Shonen Jump Jump, where I talk about my my thoughts on the week's Weekly Shonen Jump manga chapters. And there's some words I have for the next one. So check that out.
As for me, you can find me at Galen Wilson on Twitter and on TikTok. That's at GalenWilson0n. I post my hot takes, and I've had some real banger tweets recently. I was very happy with 5 gum and no money. Wish I had no gum and 5 money.
Right. I was a big fan of the tweet I did that was 9 hours, 9 drive-ins, 9 dives.
You can also find me on YouTube at The Only Galen on YouTube, and you can find me on Twitch at Machine Gun Vampire. There's nothing on those channels as of right this second, but who knows?
I also was thinking of doing Flavor's Last Reward and Zero Guy Dilemma to round out the trilogy, but I didn't. I have a video coming soon on my YouTube channel. I'll tweet the link when I tweet it, when I finish it.
Yeah. If you'd like to tweet at any of us individually as well, especially me, to remind me where SSX3 was on my placement, then, you know, you can go ahead and do that as well. Give us, you know, ideas, give us comments, give us hints. You know, whatever you want.
Cheat codes? SSX3 is cheat codes. That's fun. But they don't have a cheat code for Peak 2 and 3 clothing, which is annoying.
Yeah. Anyway, with that, this has been the NetSurfer Pro CD.
Yes.
Listen to all of it.
Go back and listen to track 1. It's like that Fall Out Boy album where they say, now press repeat, and that spooked me when I was a little baby.
Yeah, this is actually a palindromic album. It'll bleed right back into the beginning, and it'll make just as much sense then.
Our next album's going to be like Fingertips, where you can put it on shuffle and it's a new song every time. And our album after that is, well, that's a surprise for later.
That's a surprise for a later date. For now, thank you very much for listening and buying a physical CD of this.
Wow.
Oh. Well, I hope that that was helpful to Matthew down there as he's being carried away by paramedics.
Someone turn off the Twitch stream. I didn't log off. They're just seeing the snow right now.
Yeah. I can, in fact, confirm that right now the camera is just snow, but... funnily enough, it has in fact broken Matthew's record for number of views.
Ow.
It has gone from 2 to 300.
Can one of the mods change the title to Reeling in Pain? Snowstream?
It seems that one of the mods has changed the name to You Won't Believe Reeling in Pain Snowstream.
Thanks, mods. Goodbye.